I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
You know what we should do? I was thinking as the lights are coming on, we should be like the nuns at the beginning doing like the slow-mo weird dance.
I think you do a sexy nun better than
no,
me, Jess.
No. You definitely have it. So maybe next time.
Who do you want to see do the sexy nun dance? Ow. Do you want Jess to do it or do you want me to do it?
Dude, you are like setting this up so it's you next week in the middle, like doing this weird dance.
Okay. So, we'll let you guys tell us who will make the sexiest pope or the sexiest nun.
Yeah. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the new Pope After Show here on AfterBuzz. I'm your host, Jesse Zahner, and right here to my left is my all-time favorite host. You know him from the Vikings After Show. And as an AfterBuzz alum here, Al Gregg.
Your boy, Al G. Happy to be here with my girl, Jess. Let's do this again. Let's talk new Pope.
Yes. So this, we started last week with like a lot going on. And I feel like this episode was kind of slower.
It was definitely slower, more moody.
Yeah. And definitely the beginning was super confusing. Okay. So we start out with just like so much stuff happening and we like don't find out till later in the episode. So it was kind of weird because... Basically, we start out with Sophia. She's like sitting in the garden, and those guys were
the monks, the friars.
Yeah, they were like looking at her, and she was like pretending she was gonna like unbutton her shirt, and she gives them the finger, which is like so awesome.
She was totally effing with them. Yeah.
Because at first, I thought the kid was like daydreaming, because I'm like, this is not really
happening.
I was like,
this has to be fantasy. Right? This has to be surreal, right?
Yes. So,
but they always do that. They always toy like, is this real or is this fantasy? Is this a vision?
It's so funny.
And by the way, I found out those guys are the friars or like the monks who were Pope Francis II. They were like his guys, like his goons, you know what I mean? But now they're kind of on the outs. So I took it like, okay, you guys aren't on the inside anymore. You guys are on the outs, so F you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because they're the ones that went and took all the...
Took everybody's gold, took the passwords and all that. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So now they're on the outs.
Yep. So she gives them the finger. It's hilarious. But that's not like the only weird thing. So that happens. Then we see the nuns dancing again intro.
The opening music video sequence.
Yes, exactly. And then we go into these two people with breathing masks.
Oh, my God. Oh, can I say this, too, just about the sequence you pointed out, the new opening sequence? You guys, go check out the Madonna Like a Prayer video. If you ever seen the Madonna, it's basically like that.
You're right.
This whole, like, religion
that's
mixed with eroticism.
Yeah.
And, you know, Madonna plays, like, this, I don't know, this religious character, almost like Mother Mary, and is real sexy. That was the new intro to the show. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
But you were talking about the people with the masks on, right?
So then we see these people with these masks, these older people. And they're looking at these pictures, and there's, like, somebody removed from the pictures.
Yes.
I found this to be, like, super creepy.
That's very disturbing.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on? This is actually scaring me. And then the guy puts his hand up, and there was, like, a weird bug going into his ear. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I have no idea what that was about, but I was, like, weirded out by that whole
thing. And we learned later on that those are... Sir John Bannock, the new pope that's going to be coming in, those are his parents. That's what we learned later on.
Yes.
And that, who do you think was cut out? That was another creepy thing. Did they cut out the son who died?
Yeah.
Or did they cut out John because he was like their least favorite?
I don't know.
It was just interesting thought.
So, as you're watching the episode, you get more. So then you come to figure who it is. So who do you think it is?
I don't think they – it's kind of hard for me to imagine that they would cut out John's picture because he's still living. Maybe it was just more emblematic that they cut out the son who died. I don't know.
Yeah, so at first I was thinking like, oh, maybe they cut out the son who died to forget him.
Right.
But then why would they be staring at the picture? So I really think they cut him out because they don't even want to see him anymore.
And I think they want us to think about that, and I think you put your finger on something that's probably going to be revealed later.
Yes.
Because we do know that that his twin brother, the new pope who was coming in, the John Malkovich character, his twin brother was the one favored by his parents.
Yeah. So it's so interesting because I really was confused at the beginning of this. Yeah. I had no idea who those people were
old
and what was going on.
And
they're in like, it was just really creepy. And then it cuts from that over to this nun that's praying to the Virgin Mary about make her mom well again. So then I'm like, what are those her parents? Who's this woman? Like,
I totally didn't know who that was.
No.
I was Googling it. I couldn't figure it out.
We don't know who that was.
Yeah.
And then it goes, it keeps getting weirder. Okay. So then that happens. Then Esther's sitting on a toilet.
Right. Esther's sitting on the toilet, and we find out, okay, I don't want to skip ahead, but we know later on she does the interview, and then there's, but you know what, while she's sitting on the toilet, I feel like we're listening to this radio announcement, yes, mm-hmm, of people speculating on what's, yes, going on with the Pope, mm-hmm, and I guess, like, the essence is, okay, the press and the public is kind of dubious about the last Pope's death, you know, because, yeah, obviously nobody likes Vuoiello.
Yep.
So the people don't like him. So people are skeptical about the death. They wonder if it's been some type of foul play.
Yep.
And obviously there's still the deification of Lenny. They still see him as almost like an idolater, not an idol,
yeah,
basically, like almost above a Pope figure. It definitely Esther does. And so it kind of sets the tone. And I think that combined, you know, with you hear this other Muslim imam talking about how Christians are the enemy. So it just, I don't know, it sets the tone how they're still under siege again.
Yeah, you're right. So you see all this different stuff happening, but you're right. They're just listening to that radio. And Vuoiello is getting, like, even he's getting ready, and you see him getting ready while they're listening to this, but, I mean, he's getting called out.
Yeah, he's getting called out, and the funny thing is, not to skip too far ahead, but he has a political answer to that, and I don't want to, you know, I know you're probably willing to get to that, but yeah, his political answer to that is obviously John Brannick's, which we've talked about.
Yeah. So, while all that's going on, then we see Sophia. Sophia's, like, so...
She's a freak, man.
Oh, my God. This episode is like, what is going on with her?
But I didn't even recognize her, too, because her hair is shorter this season, right?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, because, like, I think she came in later last season, uh-huh, and she was a big role, but, like, yeah, now she's, like, a standing out,
yeah,
like, because then she's, like, there, and we don't know who the guy is.
We don't know who that guy is. He doesn't pop up till later, but we see a man who's naked,
yeah,
right? And then she comes in full dressed.
Yeah.
You know, just sits down, you know, takes a knee.
Yeah.
And basically he, like, handles his business in front of her. And then she's just like, I'm going to have to change my suit. Fuck, that was hilarious.
Yeah, and, like, I didn't know who it was. So, like, I was waiting to find out, like, who is this man? But apparently it's her husband.
Okay.
But we don't really know that, I guess.
We don't know that at the time. So basically, yeah, that Paolo Sorrentino, he likes throwing all these characters at us, and that we'll figure out who they are later.
Yes.
Just to kind of, like, red herrings to keep us guessing.
So
I
that's
think
like
that's
what
it.
He's doing right now.
That's
like,
he's
setting
up.
He's
setting all these random, yeah, characters, and we know they're going to be significant later on. We just haven't figured out how,
right,
yet.
Or they mean something. Because, like, the girl in the red sweatshirt keeps coming up.
The girl in the, tell me, I don't even, I
missed
the girl
in the red
sweatshirt.
So the girl in the red hoodie,
okay,
was last,
that's,
episode.
Right, that's,
you know,
right, among the crowd.
Yeah, in the crowd. All the crowd, they are all wearing shirts. I think it's with Lenny on it.
Yeah.
And they are all in black shirts, but there's the one girl in red shirt.
Right.
And she was, like, shown a few times last episode. And now, again, this episode, everybody's sleeping.
Uh-huh.
And she stands up.
So
again,
she seems to be one of those, like, devout of his supporters, of,
yeah,
his fan club or whatever.
So if anybody is watching this and you guys are, like, know, if you think you know who these people are going to turn out to be, let us know, because...
Help us out in the
they
comments.
They mean something. Like, this girl in the red hoodie means something.
Yeah, definitely.
And that nun means something, too. So hopefully we'll find out more about those guys coming up, but
yeah,
not yet. So basically we see Vuoiello and his buddies get on the train, and they're going over to see John Brannick's.
Yeah, and they're in the back caboose having their little, like, mafia meeting. It's so,
yeah,
fun. The way they have it framed, you see them, you know, behind the little door, separate from everybody. Yeah, and they're plotting. So that's when they... they're reviewing their plan to convince Brannick's.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about, what is this guy like, you know, because even though they voted to have him, you know, he found out, well, he's prone to depression, and well, we like him because he's prone to be the middle way, but, you know, everybody's kind of going back and forth,
right,
the best way how to approach the situation.
Yeah, so they get to his house, and he lives in this, like, castle. I was like, what does he live
creepy
in? Like,
castle.
Well, yeah, I didn't know it was creepy at the time. I'm down, but when they come out with, like, the dogs,
yeah,
and everything, and then the guy's like, is there a ghost in there? I'm like, oh, I didn't ever think of that.
Yeah.
I thought this was, like, Versailles or something. Like,
well,
what's going on?
Well, first of all, everybody comes up, you know, like, the little throng of, you know, the cardinals who came up to, you know, ask him to be Pope. They're all, like, in this black limbo. I just,
yeah,
love the way it's shot, you know? It's
yeah,
really creepy.
I know. They're, like, all, and they're standing like in the perfect position with their like suitcase right in front of them. Yeah, and
then
like
and then the guards come out with dogs. So you know, and the way they lit the castle, it's so creepy. And they're like, you don't see even inside. There's no, I don't think there's any electricity. Everything was by candlelight, and they did that intentionally as a reflection of Maddox's mood. You know what I mean? How he's this melancholy character. We talked about his parents, and he goes in. We'll get into that later, and he goes in to talk about, you know, how he lives with his parents in another wing. But the whole thing is very stylized and dark and depressing and melancholy, kind of like him.
Exactly, yeah. So it sets you up for that, and the butler kind of, like, laughs after one of the cardinals asks, like, are there ghosts in here? And he just, like, laughs and turns away.
Quick question, Jess. Yeah. Okay, that butler, was he in the little secret meeting at the end, too, when they're trying to figure out how they're going to handle him? I feel like he was.
Oh, okay. Which meeting?
I'm skipping ahead. There's a scene toward there's three guys in the downstairs.
And no, so I don't think so, because I think they're back at Sophia's house.
Okay.
I guess.
Okay.
Because I think it's Sophia's husband, a cardinal that knows a secret, and then I don't know who the other guy is. So do you think the other guy might have been him?
Sorry for skipping ahead. Only reason I thought that is because I feel like when they showed the butler, I thought the butler was some type of, was almost like a traitor. Like, I felt like somebody was consulting him later on to see what they could get on Brannix. But more to be revealed.
Yeah, he was talking to Voyella when they were walking around. But there is, like, a weird thing about this, and I call him the butler, but I don't know what he is, but he's been there, and been there while he was growing up and everything.
Right.
But like, they do have like a really weird relationship. Yeah. I feel like,
I feel like even if that wasn't him, maybe in the last scene that you were referring to, I do feel like he's he doesn't seem that loyal, or he just sees, I don't know, he has an angle to play. We'll see.
Because he's walking with Voyello at one point talking, so I'm not really sure, but. When they get into the house, everybody's having, like, these paranormal experiences where, like, Pope Pius is showing up.
Right.
So, like, you know, you see Voyello. He's, like, freezing, trying to light a fire, and he's, like, under these blankets. And then Pope Pius comes and, like, lights the fire. And then Cardinal Mario Ascente.
Okay.
The tall guy with the glasses.
Right.
He, like, takes off his shirt and then goes over to knock on Cardinal, is it Gutierrez?
Yes.
Door. Uh-huh. And then he answers, and then Gutierrez, like, turns him down, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then Pope Pius comes to tell him, like, he did the right thing.
Yeah, because he wanted to have a little, you know, quickie over there.
Yeah.
That was the implication, right?
Yeah, totally.
I like Mario, Pope Mario, or Cardinal Mario. He was the one, and when the last episode, when everyone was reflecting on what they want, one Pope is like, hope they will let us get married. And he was the Pope is like, I hope they, you know, allow gay relationships and gay marriage. So that was the implication when he goes over, you know, he wants to consummate this relationship with Gutierrez. But yeah, he turns him down. And then later on, as you're alluding to, how Lenny's ghost is like, you know, wafting through the house.
Yeah.
His presence is always kind of there. He goes over, like you said, and he congratulates Gutierrez, and you know, like the strict, legalist that Lenny is. He's like, pleasure. What did you say? He said,
oh, yeah.
Pleasure would have led to suffering.
Yes, yeah. He does say something
to that effect. He always, something Lenny would always say.
And then Sophia's back at it.
Oh my God, Sophia's a freak
in bed, like talking to her husband on the phone.
Right,
and it. He, like, Lenny's there, like, what is he doing? Like, oh, has his hand on her shoulder or something? And I don't know what Lenny's thinking.
Lenny's still there, yeah. She's getting a freak. Wait, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've ever had this kind of sex with your mate, with your partner. It's one thing to have your partner on the monitor, but literally.
Yeah.
She has sex with the monitor. With the phone.
Yeah.
Literally.
Which is actually kind of disgusting, because, like, God only knows what's on your phone. Like, you read those articles about, like, a million bacteria being on it. So, girl, please don't. But please just don't.
It was definitely freaky. We don't want to spoil it, but they kind of combine. Well, you guys, you tell us. They combine two forms of sex. They combine oral sex with, what do you call it, with when you do it over like the computer. Anyway, it's a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't. There's no name for it.
And Lenny's there for it too.
But Lenny, he kind of, you know, puts his hand on her, like, okay, you know, you can go to rest now, you know, after she does her thing.
Yeah, I don't know what he thinks of that, because they're married, so, like, is that cool?
Yeah, so maybe,
like,
that's,
I don't know.
So maybe that's why Lenny wasn't judging it, because their sex was in a blessed union.
There I don't know.
There you
I don't
go,
know.
You said it.
So who knows what he's up to there. Yeah. And then you see, like, a dark room, and the butler comes in, and he puts, like, this little box down, and you don't see who it is.
Right.
And they reach their hand out. But then later, you kind of see his beard.
Okay.
And so you kind of know, like, it's John.
Okay.
Brannix.
Right.
And then you're like, what's in the box?
And you know what? They actually talk about it, too. They address the same scenario you were talking about, where Maddox asks, did you come and bring my box? And did he say, no, but you were able to fall asleep anyway?
He said, I brought your box. And he's like, I couldn't find it.
But,
and he's like, it was there. He's like, but I fell asleep anyways.
Okay, so maybe there's something within the box he needs to fall asleep.
Yeah, that's normally what I was thinking, because I was like, what would be in there? It's probably drugs or like sleeping pills or something like that. But you know why he fell asleep, right?
Why?
Because Lenny was there. Duh, Lenny just went in there and put him to sleep.
Lenny was like,
good night.
Lenny, okay, talk about something secretive in the box. Okay, and that leads me to later on what I think are like secrets. They have secrets on John Maddox. But I know we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, so this is like, as we're talking about it, it's just as confusing, I feel like, as it was at the beginning. Because everything is just so quick at first, and you don't know who's who or what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we start getting some information. So finally, they're meeting with Brannix, because they couldn't meet with him that night. Mm-hmm. Because when they got there, it was too late. He doesn't go to bed past 10:30 because he has like this really strict schedule, and
I love that he just can't be bothered
at all. So then they go and meet with him, and I don't know, I mean, what do you think of him so far? Like,
yeah, I mean, obviously the characters are very over the top. Clearly he's melancholy. He's lost his twin brother, they show a series of flashbacks.
Yeah.
And so clearly he's always had this sense of, I'm sure, something being missing, lonely. It implies that he's almost not an invalid, but like the fact that he spends so much time at this castle with his parents.
Yeah.
Like he still lives with his parents, even though they're another wing, you know, it says a lot.
Yeah.
How I guess this, you know, this loss has probably traumatized him and made him, as I said, he's very fragile.
Right.
He's like porcelain, you know. He's very well-spoken. He's British. He's educated. And he's obviously very intelligent. But I think that was one of the things that his butler was saying, is that he's very fragile. And even he talks about that later on, you know, like, do you want a Pope made of steel? And they're like, no, we want somebody like you. For what it's worth, but it's interesting, the little back and forth that gets into with Voyello. Voyello asks him, did you read my book? And he was like, yeah, I read it once. And so Voyello's surprised, you read my book. And he's like, well, what did you think of it? How come you didn't read it again? And he's like, well, because I didn't want to turn evil after reading your book. So everybody knows Voyello is like an evil manipulator,
I guess. I mean, I'm hoping that we have some like dark humor from him, because honestly, he's like so depressing.
Yeah.
And like literally, like I'm sitting there like, come on, like wah, do something wah. Funny, do something cool. But also I'm like getting sad too, because like you find out all this stuff, like his brother died and he was there and his parents don't want anything to do with him anymore because they don't feel like he did enough to save him. So then you're like feeling so bad.
Yeah.
And then the eyeliner just adds to the depression. He's
he's always
a massive amount of eyeliner. He's super depressed. He's never happy. He like says the most depressing things. He thinks like the worst about everything. It's like super downer compared to Lenny, who is like kind of like a badass and like breaking the rules and like, and then came up being like a hero.
Right.
So it's just like kind of depressing. So I hope we get more out of him, but he doesn't know if he wants to be the Pope.
That's what I dig about him the most. Anybody would like jump at the chance, and he's just like, I'll think about it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so they have like a meeting where they're eating, and then you see him and Voyello talking, and then they go downstairs. They're in this like one room, and he's dressed like the KFC guy. He literally looks exactly like Colonel Sanders. Yes. Like I'm sitting there like, this is so funny. This could be like a KFC commercial. Like that's exactly what he looks like. He's sitting down there just like with a bucket of chicken, like depressed as you would ever imagine anybody could be. And they're trying to like talk to him about, you know, why he would be so great. And he's like, no, I'm porcelain, like you said, and you guys need a man of steel. And then they start talking. They start saying, well, like, the church is love and all this. And then he wants to know what love is. And then we get into more depressing things because then he asks Voiello, and Voiello's like, oh, I'm not a good source. So, like, just move on, ask somebody else. So then he asks Gutierrez, and Gutierrez tells, like, this really sad story.
Like, I was molested.
I know. I'm like, oh, my God. Are you guys trying to make everybody watching this super depressed?
Oh, okay, so here's Voiello, and I know you caught this, like, the twist, though. The guy, his molester, his assaulter was, there is no God.
Yeah.
And in spite of that, I think what Gutierrez said was that, even if there isn't, you have no hope but to believe in one. I guess to have hope. What's the use of not having hope at all?
Right.
So to act as if there is a God, period. Anyway, interesting perspective.
Yeah.
But it goes to show, like, I guess, like, how the glass is half full with him, you know, how optimistic he is.
Yeah, I really like him, too. Yeah, I like him, too. As a character, I was hoping that he would become Pope, but he's not going to because they want to make Brannix Pope. But Brannix doesn't know, so he's, I guess, going to think about it or something. Yeah. But they think because he says he doesn't know that he's going to say yes.
Right, and they think, you know, because for some reason he's pictured of not being too radical, but going the middle path.
Yeah.
And he acknowledges, you approach me because you think I'm of the middle path. And I'm just really interested to see, like, you know, how he will shake things up, like the real deal. Like,
yeah.
We're still only getting, like the superficial version of himself.
Yeah, so something we were talking about before we came on was just that this episode was kind of, like, setting up what's to come in the season. So we're, like, getting to know the characters, getting to know their backstories. Mm. But one other thing in this episode that was really important was when Sophia's husband was down in whatever room that was. I keep thinking everybody's downstairs. I don't know if it was downstairs, but they were in this, like, weird room, and he's, like, with this cardinal and some other guy, and they're just talking about hopefully getting Brannix in. And the cardinal reveals that Brannix is going to want to get on this guy's good side because this guy knows his secret. Do you have any idea what his secret may be?
The only secret I show, after that, or like a couple of scenes after that, they cut to Voiello taking pictures on his cell phone of these pictures on a wall. And to me, it just looked like some guy, like, at a punk rock rally with, like, a mohawk, and I'm like, okay, is that supposed to be scandalous?
Yeah.
And they're joking, like, can you see this picture on lighters or whatever?
Yeah.
So I'm like, if that's supposed to be John Brannix, you know, when he was younger and wilder, I mean, you know, I think that could work out the opposite. Like, people might think he's cool.
But yeah.
Maybe it goes a lot deeper than that. We haven't found out, like, how deep his scandal
goes. Yeah, so it's funny because the guy in the room, not the husband, not Sophia's husband, but the other guy asks what the secret is, and he just laughs because he's obviously not going to tell.
Right.
I, that's what I'm assuming. But so that was Sophia that was taking the pictures, I believe. Voiello might have been too, but I'm thinking, like, oh, her husband must have called and said there's some secrets on him, and then she went, like, looking through the house for stuff, and that's what she came up with.
Bam.
Him in, like, the punk rock, and, like, I think he had, like, a mohawk, and it's like, well, he's wearing eyeliner, so he's still right
still
there,
the punk rock Pope.
So we're gonna find out if he will become Pope, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm thinking he might.
I don't. Yeah, it's looking like it. It's looking like it.
Yeah. So until next episode, I guess.
Yep.
That's really all for that episode because we're really just getting set up for this season and who's who and their backstories. So I guess we'll have to wait till next episode to find out. But
now, just we have time for the most scandalous Pope segment.
Can we do the most scandalous popes? Because
yeah, let's do it.
Okay,
because we're about to have another scandalous Pope, maybe based on his secrets. So Al has some.
And along that segue, I'll try to sneak it in. We're trying out this new segment, so thanks, Jess. Anyway, we're going to be doing this segment about the most scandalous popes, since we're dealing with all these scandalous popes. And the one we're going to start off with is Pope Alexander II, or the Sixth, and better known as Rodrigo Borgia. And if anybody knows about the Borgia, it's very famous, and they even did the show on them on Showtime. To this day, the Borgia name is synonymous with scandal because of this guy's rule. How many other papal families have a show after them? There was controversy from the start of Pope Alexander VI, a wealthy Spaniard who allegedly bought the papacy by bribing his fellow electors. Alexander also saw no problem appointing all of his relatives to position, killing off rival cardinals, and collecting valuable property for himself, even fathering children out of wedlock. So, I guess you have a lot of latitude, you know, as a pope, you know, with seeing all the scandals that they've been through.
Yeah.
So maybe these guys aren't so bad on the new pope.
Right? Exactly. I mean, how could they be? So,
long line.
Unless he has a secret that is more scandalous than that.
Yeah,
but
like,
I don't think being a punk rocker and having your mohawk pictures on.
Yeah, unless it's like, you know, it's like his needle and he's like ejects heroin every night. You know, like what's the secret? We'll see.
I can't wait. I hope it's something intense, but I don't know. The punk rock pictures just aren't.
Yeah, that was
do it
yeah,
for
that
me,
didn't
so.
Say anything.
So before we go, do you have any predictions for what is about to happen next week?
Predictions. Okay. I believe that they're going to go ahead and get this thing going and have this conclave with the new pope, with John Maddox. I believe he's going to accept, and because I think they want to hurry up and get into that right now and get out of this limbo. But I also think we're going to see our own Lenny come back
with some type of supernatural intervention. Yes.
They've been establishing that he's been able to intervene in people's lives.
Yes.
So I have a feeling he's going to intervene, especially since Esther kind of alluded to his miracle at predicting her birth. She thinks he made her give birth. So,
right.
Yeah. So I think big things from Lenny from beyond the grave or beyond the coma.
Yes. So I agree. I think that he will become the pope. Because he's just such a big actor, and so we're kind of losing Jude Law a little bit, so we're, like, getting another big actor. So I think he is going to become the pope, and I have no idea what's going to happen because he is so depressing, and I'm just like, please, like, be cool like Lenny.
Wah, wah.
I think Lenny is going to be, like, a saint. He's going to become a saint for all the miracles that he does.
He kind of already, yeah, it feels
yeah,
like that. That's
because,
what it feels like,
Esther's coming up with hers, and he said, like, don't call it a miracle. It was, like, let's leave it a mystery. But I think her miracle, and there's going to be other miracles that come from Lenny, so he'll become a saint. But I think we're going to keep seeing him, like, show up and do random things.
Right.
And I don't know what is going to happen with everybody else. Like, Sophia is just, anything can happen with Sophia next episode. So I'm just here waiting to see what happens. So
yeah, we're going to bump it up to rated R with Sophia.
But that is it. If you guys, please give us a like, comment. We love talking about the show, and there's so much going on this episode that is going to take us into further episodes. So Al, tell everybody where they can find you before we go.
Everybody, your boy Al Gragg. You can find me on Instagram at Algie_JamaicaHouseFilm. And you can check me out on the Vikings After Show tomorrow at 10 o'clock right here.
Yes, and I'm Jesse Zaner. You can find me all over social media at Athletic. And until next week, see you guys.
Bam.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.